I'll be sharing a testimony about my experience in our congregation, Church of All Nations, and as it relates to our theme this weekend. I've been a member of Church of All Nations since 2006, when I returned from spending a year teaching English in South Korea. And in 2009, I joined the church staff as a ministry assistant. I'm very privileged to call this congregation my home and family, and nearly every day thank God for leading me here. In light of our conference theme, I thought I would reflect on how my understanding of myself as an American has changed since I started attending this multicultural, historically aware church. A little background about myself. I'm white. yep. Thank you. My mom's side of the family is completely of Swedish heritage. My last name, Newby, is English, and my dad's side of the family is English, German, Irish, and French-Canadian. I grew up in rural Wisconsin in a mostly Baptist, evangelical-free Christian tradition. I attended a conservative Christian college in the Twin Cities, and I have divorced parents. In other words, I am boringly typical of this area and of my generation. I think what has changed most about my understanding of being an American is that I now think about it. I never cared that I was an American before because it didn't seem relevant to anything. What has changed is that I now see that it is relevant to everything. Everything from understanding myself to the world to my faith. I have finally begun to develop an explicit consciousness of the values, expectations, and history that have been an implicit part of me since birth, and I'm working to make progress towards distinguishing my cultural identity from the Christian identity I aim to become. This has involved the painful and painstaking work of recognizing and shedding my skin-tight American identity of individualism, independence, dualism, personal piety and moralism, materialism, abstraction, false innocence, ahistoricism, ethnocentrism, and racism. To be born again as a citizen of the kingdom of God. Of course, every church and Christian institution I had previously been a part of also rallied against demonic cultural forces, yet they paid little mind to most of the sin I just listed, opting instead to focus on moral battles of abstract relevance that, not coincidentally, ended up aiding the cause of empire. I think a story particularly telling of where I was when I first arrived at this church happened during my first individual meeting with our pastor. We were at his house talking after having had dinner with his family, and I told him how empty and unhappy I felt. I said I understood that only God could fill my need, but I didn't know how to have a relationship with God that did that. In response to my vulnerable confession, he asked me to tell him about my family, where I grew up, what my relationship with my parents and siblings were like, etc. I was sort of insulted by his turn of the conversation. I was speaking deeply about and trying to get to the root of things, being honest about where I was, and he wanted to make small talk. Of course, just the opposite was happening. He already could figure out that my unhappiness was largely due to past pain and loneliness in this individualistic society. While I wanted to remain in the abstract, which is where I truly thought my problems were, he was leading me to engage with reality. It's hard for me to believe now, but I genuinely felt that my past had no influence on the person I was at present. For example, I thought my unhappiness was due to something innately wrong with me. It did not even enter my imagination that the divorce of my parents when I was a young child might be a contributing factor to my pervasive insecurity, or that my Scandinavian stoicism might have resulted in repression that was inwardly distorting my present perceptions and reactions. I fully believed that I was self-made, that I was in control of who I was and who I became. Counter to this notion, near the end of the same conversation, Pastor Jin looked at me and said, "When I look at you, I don't see just you. I see 2,000 years of Western civilization." No one had ever placed me in context like that before. I was dumbfounded and disoriented. Instead of feeling like a unique, self-made individual, I felt completely predictable, a product with parts all traceable to their original origins. And while that was jarring to discover, my pastor and the Church of All Nations congregation did not use this truthful analysis to dismiss me, but to liberate me, to help navigate me out of the American empire and into the kingdom of God. I've also learned that my failure to see or acknowledge the influence of my personal history on my present is a micro-reflection of America's self-understanding or lack of self-understanding as a nation. We are divorced from our past, unable to see its relevance on who we are. Despite having a college degree, my knowledge of history is atrocious and is only something I am beginning to really learn now at the age of 30. We do not care how we became the nation that we are. Instead, we remain content with a tranquilized notion that who we are is what has always been, or at least is what was always meant to be. Like we talked about last night, Machiavellianism rules, so with a cursory nod that a few mistakes were made along the way, we enjoy the present with a clear conscience. As if the same exploitation on which our nation was founded ended with slavery and is not still the thriving core of who we are today, as evidenced by our presence around the globe. But thankfully, being part of a local church body with members from around the world, I've learned that there is more to America than meets the eye of the average American. Discovering the myth of America's innocence is increasingly putting me at odds with my conservative background, especially with the Christian side of it. We are so sensitive to the slightest criticism about our nation that if anyone even implies that our country has done something wrong, we tell that person they can pack their bags and move somewhere else. It is incomprehensible to me how Christians are so unfamiliar and uncomfortable with confession. I indict myself when I say that. After all, it was not long ago that despite knowing nothing about history, I felt qualified to demean those who were still complaining about racism and to feel superior to those who came here as immigrants. You can get away with a lot on a clear conscience if you ignore your history. A really helpful distinction I learned to make at this church is the difference between nationalism and patriotism. Much of our country doesn't know the difference because in America, you can't be patriotic without being nationalistic. I remember one time a few years ago, several of my friends from church and I went to the Shout House, a dueling piano bar in Minneapolis. We were having a good time, and then the pianist began to play the song, Proud to Be an American. The song is always a crowd favorite. It's rousing, and you get to show off your patriotism with emotional fervor. And anyone who's been in the armed forces always goes up on stage, and when it gets to the famous line, and I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, everyone in the place stands up together, sings along, and sways back and forth. I actually really like that song. It's anthemic, and it's a weakness of mine. The temporary solidarity feels good, and my fifth grade teacher used to play that song all the time. Hearing it that night, though, after having grown in awareness to the extent I had, and being in a group of women, a couple of whom were not citizens, jumping in and singing along with the rest of the blind crowd did not feel so innocent. Because actually, I wasn't proud to be an American, and I am not proud to be an American. I love my country, but I'm not proud of it. And honestly, I don't know how anyone who calls them a Christian can be. Many Christians think that the good our country has done outweighs its evil, but in the cases of those who hold this as an honest opinion, that conviction is based on a lack of education and swallowing of a whole lot of propaganda. Our group sat that night while everyone else in the room stood. It was awkward. The military is, after all, a sacred cow that those in power have successfully made criticism of nearly synonymous with selfish ingratitude and treason. Those sitting around us at the Shout House urged us to stand and join the feel-good moment, and I'm pretty sure a number of people were disgusted with us when we didn't. For me, though a small incident, that evening was a poignant glimpse into a larger national consciousness, one that not long ago I was happily a part of. My congregation has done more than reveal to me my captivity to Western thought and American ideals. They have offered a counter-witness in its place. For the loneliness of American individualism, they offered Christian community. I have lived in community housing with members of this church for the last 5 years. Many of my peers outside the church are buying homes at this time and don't understand what kind of person opts to have roommates into their 30s by choice. For me, the social, economic, and spiritual benefits outweigh the criticism. For the massive internal dividedness brought on by Western dualism, which raises its people to despise external reality and to love their mind, and so eventually go crazy trying to find stability and meaning in their internal world of abstract thought, this congregation gave me a concrete environment to contend with. Cooking together, eating together, playing sports together, loving on our new babies, cleaning up floods in our church, grieving loss with one another and celebrating joys, the things I used to consider distractions from the higher life of spiritual contemplation have become again the main thing, to the benefit of my mental health. This congregation also liberated me from my false religion of personal piety, where the main objective is to keep one's hands clean, and has led me to follow the dirty and unorthodox love of Jesus Christ, where making dogma and doctrine submit to love and compassion, and not the other way around, will get you shunned as a heretic time and again. I could go on with ways this congregation has offered a counter witness, but I'll just say one more thing that this congregation did for me and for which I cannot express enough gratitude. They allowed me to be unhappy. To many outside the empire looking in, what reason does a person internal to the empire have to be unhappy? And those in charge say the same thing. Don't you dare complain. You are lucky to be here. But the cost of keeping the empire going is people's souls, both without and within. And this was the first place I felt my unhappiness could be expressed and understood with welcome and not judgment. What never ceases to amaze me is how what is good news for one person in God's kingdom is good for all. To me, the good news of the kingdom of God is the offer of an alternative life where I can flourish without stepping on the backs of others, and in which the faithful family of God, victimized by empire, is open even to one born within that empire. The recognition of my American identity is allowing me to slowly shed it to the joyful growth of my life as a disciple of Jesus Christ.